Well, it's good to see you all. I mean, we've been away and had a lovely break. Beautiful view where we were. It's and when I go to these places, I always think about the first disciples that had to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I mean, we're part of that, but those first disciples that had to get on a boat or walk somewhere and then just start spreading this gospel, and then they went to a new country and had to. And I always think, how did they start? Where did they start? How did they do it? You know, and you're just there on holiday, and these things go through my mind. Anyway, what do I want to say? Perhaps a title, maybe the uniqueness of Christ. Yeah, the uniqueness of Christ. And I'll chuck a little question out to you, because I was thinking about this. And who, if I was to ask you, and you can have a little think, and you can chuck a few things back to me, who is Usain Bolt? Wait a minute, go slow. A runner? Jamaican? He's fast?
Virgin Media.
He advertises. He does his thing. And these are bits and pieces that we know about him. He was I looked him up, so you know, he's born on the 21st of August, 1986. Ooh, he's young, isn't he? He's the highest paid athlete in track and field running, you know, in like athletics, not in any other sport. He's Jamaican. He's actually 6'5" or 196 centimetres. He weighs, when they obviously weighed him, at 94 kilograms or 207 pounds for the Americans. It's written here that he's the fastest man in the world. Well, it's sprinting. He holds the world record. He's actually does the 100 metres and the 200 metres. He'd probably make a pretty good 400 as well. And 200 is actually a specialist thing. And there's probably other things that we don't know about. I looked up where the town that he was born and all these kind of things. And he would be proud of many things, wouldn't he? I should think if you said to him, "Are you proud to be Jamaican?" he'd say, "Yeah, I'm very proud to be Jamaican." There's lots of things he should be proud about, you know, and he would be. But I wonder if the thing that's most special to him, what do you think the thing that's most special to him? And I don't know, because I can only guess. I would think what's very special to him, the very special thing is that he's the fastest man in the world. You know, that, because actually, he's one in the world. That makes him unique. He is unique in the world, having the world record at 100 metres, 200 metres. There's lots of other people like him, but he is, at the moment anyway, the fastest man in the world. There's no one else that's the fastest man in the world at that distance. Till he break the record, of course. And, you know, when you'd say anything about him at the moment, that to him is very special. Of course, there's lots of other special things to him. I know that. And when Jesus was going along with his disciples, it's interesting because what Irma read there, you know, he traveled around with them. And he'd say things to them and they would be scratching their head. And going, what's he going on about now? What does he mean he's going to rise from the dead? I mean, because if someone said, "Oh, I've got to rise from the dead," you wouldn't be expecting them to be killed and then pop up again, would you? You'd probably be thinking, "What? You know, he always talked in parables. What's he talking about?" he goes to his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" That was what he used to call himself, the Son of Man. They replied, "Well, I've heard it said that some say you're John the Baptist." Oh, because John the Baptist had been executed, so perhaps this was a reincarnation or something of his spirit was in you, you know, had transferred from one to the other. You know, they were thinking like this. Others say, you know, you're Elijah or Jeremiah. You know, you've been your spirit has been raised up again, and it's now in this, in you. And, you know, they're kind of interesting answers, a bit sort of. But what about you? He asked. So he's asking the disciples, what do you say? What do you say? Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, and all of a sudden it just came out. And Peter is one of these that seems to speak, and then he thinks about what he said after. Because I was thinking about what Irma had read there, and it said, he said, let's make three booths. And then it goes, he didn't know what to say because he was so scared or something along that line. And I think when they were writing the Gospels, they kind of chuckled and said, well, Peter, why did you say that? And he said, well, I was terrified. I didn't know what to say. And, you know, when they were putting it all together. And Peter blurts out this sort of statement. He goes, you are the Christ, or the Messiah, the one that they've been waiting for. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's just like, whoop, it came out. Ooh, where did that come from? And it was through a revelation, because Jesus says, isn't that, you haven't worked that one out for yourself. That's God has sort of revealed that to you. And out it came, this revelation. And like it said on the mountain there, you know, the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son, who I'm pleased. And he goes, but don't tell anyone about this. On this occasion, he says, don't tell anyone till later on. Keep this quiet. He didn't want the word to get around. And so we get here a first glimpse of who this Jesus is. And, you know, we sung the song, for God so loved this whole world. And if we go to John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, begotten in Old English is when a man and a woman get together and have a baby, isn't it? Begotten son. But what it's talking about as begotten is unique son. The only one like, it's not like a man and a woman get together and have a child. It's unique. He's the only unique son. He's a one-off. As the same Bolt, he's the only one in the world. He's unique. There's no other person who can hook at the moment who has that record. He's unique in the world. And Jesus is unique. And on another occasion, in the Bible, in John 8, it says, I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. And it says, at this, they picked up stones to try and kill him. Because what was happening here, he was saying, in the time frame of your history, before Abraham was born, I existed in eternity. Now, what's that saying? I was forever. I am forever. Now, when a man says that, what's he saying? He's saying he's God. But he's not actually saying I'm God. Not in the words I'm God, but he's using the phrase I am, which what they knew was God. But he was saying before Abraham was, I God. Oh, I am. It's the same. It's interchangeable, because that's what the Jews would call God. They would say, God, his title was, I exist always. It's just an eternal thing. And so what we're seeing, what I'm trying to point out is Jesus, through a proclamation of Peter, was saying, you are the Christ. And now in Jesus' own words, is saying, even though he's lived years after Abraham, he's saying, before Abraham was even born, I existed forever. See, so he's actually claiming to be God. And the Jews understood that. We might have gone, huh? The Jews knew that he was actually saying, I'm God. And what did they do to that? That was blasphemy. So they started picking up bricks and rocks, and they were going to lob them at him and kill him. Because they still do it in the Middle East now in some places. They'll bury someone half, and then they rock them to death with stones and bricks and anything they can find. And you know, it's still done in Iran, I think, isn't it? And that's what they tried to do with him, and he hid and he escaped. But they understood that he was claiming to be God. And at another point in John 10, it says, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." I and the Father are one. Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" He was kind of playing around a little bit with them because he knew what was coming. "We are not stoning you for any of these," replied the Jews, "but for blasphemy. Because you, a mere man, claim to be God." The Jews understood what Jesus was claiming. They understood that here he was, this man, a man that they could see before them. In what he said, "I and my Father are one," was claiming to be God. Go and do something like that in some countries now, and you would be executed for it. Blasphemy. It's called blasphemy. There's countries in the world now that would kill you for blasphemy. They will kill you for blasphemy. And that's what the Jews were about to do. They realized that here was a man claiming to be God, and they were going to kill him. And so there's a couple of occasions that we see that Jesus claims, not directly, he doesn't go, "Oh, I'm God," but he just, in the words that he says, they pick up on it and they go, "Hang on, you're claiming to be God." And on another occasion, he forgives sins. Only God can forgive sins. And what we're seeing is that Jesus, he didn't go around saying, I'm God. But in things when he's preaching and in what he did, they picked up and said, "Hang on, you're a man and you're claiming to be God. We must kill you." And in the end, that's why they did kill him. They had to get rid of him in the end. And they understood what Jesus was going on about. And, you know, why I'm speaking about this is because, I got it printed up on the news flash on the back of it, a statement of faith.
On the back of here.
Which we look at later. But as a church, this is what we've adopted, you know, for quite a while. But it's quite good to bring it to our attention ever so often, because, do you know, there's an awful lot of confusion out there. And what would you be able to explain to someone what you actually believed? And because, you know what, when I was looking up about before this, I've been looking up the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, what do you do when they come to the door? Quickly shut the door and get rid of them. Yeah. Now, there's different faiths out there. And what I wanted to say is, what do we believe? And what do some of these others believe on some issues? I want to read another one. Now, this reading, I'm going to pick part of it. I'm reading a book on it at the moment. Colossians. And I've read it a few times because there are some key scriptures in the Bible that and this book I'm reading was saying that this bit of Colossians 1 was probably the equivalent to a statement of faith for the early church. It was probably something that they learnt either by song or by just reciting, so they all had it up here so they could all say it. So if someone came to them, they could say, I'll read it, or some of it at least. "He is the image," that is verse 15, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." When it says firstborn there, again, it's not meaning he was the firstborn. It's a title. It's like number one. He's over all things. It's firstborn was like the inheritor of everything. Firstborn was the prime child, got everything, see? So he is, when it says the firstborn, he inherits all things. He is, it's due him. Yeah, take it like that. Firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers. Now these thrones and powers are all the earth, spiritual and physical authorities are all subject to him. Be it levels of angels, archangels, everything is subject to him. Everything is subject to him. And they learnt this. He is before all things. In him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. I won't read it all, but there it says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And these are all little key things. And why I picked some of these verses and chapters and things is because when it comes to what we believe and what other religions believe, it always comes down to who Jesus is. Pick any religion and you'll see that's the difference. And when Jesus said, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? If you say, oh, Jesus is a good bloke, do you know, nearly everyone in the world would say that. Everybody would say he's a good bloke. Do you know, if you say he's one of the best teachers ever, I don't think there's a religion that would disagree with you. Every religion would say Jesus is a very good speaker. Buddhists, they'll think, actually, Jesus, what he said was good stuff. Hindus, yeah, Jesus was, he's an amazing teacher. You read it, they'll all say it. Think of a religion. Jesus was a good teacher. Anybody can say that. You know, the Baha'i faith. Never heard of it? Yeah, heard of it? Buddhism. They'll all say Jesus is a good teacher. Everyone will say it. You know, they won't disagree with you. Yeah. Oh, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, they can all say, I believe in Jesus. What do you believe about him? Who do people say that I am? A prophet? Is he a prophet? Some people, some religions say he's a prophet. Yeah. It's a lot. So I just wanted to have a little look at some of these things. But we see Jesus through Christian eyes, don't we? And we have to look at what others also think. You know, what do they think? And Muslims, you know, we're going to see more of them and we come across them a bit more. What do they think? Now, they see Jesus as a prophet, a teacher. They hold him in quite high esteem. In fact, they probably defend him more than we would. But we're not actually, I don't think we have to defend Jesus in that sense. They have him as revered. If you ever read a Muslim thing and they talk about Jesus, they put one of those little things. Now with Muhammad, they say, peace be upon him. With Jesus, it's something similar, but it's not quite the same. But, and they kind of have that little bit of acknowledgement that he's a prophet. He's very important, but not quite as important as Muhammad. He had an earlier revelation. And Muhammad was the finished article in as far as revelation concerned. Although I do think they acknowledge that Jesus was, you know, was perfect and very good. They believe that he didn't die on the cross. Okay? There's a difference. So they believe he's a prophet and he didn't die on the cross. What about something like Jehovah's Witnesses? They come to your door, knock on the door. They'll always talk to you about the end times. And you kind of get all caught up in it and enjoy it. I enjoy it. What do they believe about Jesus? The difficult thing for us, with the JWs, as we might call them, they've slightly altered little bits and pieces of the same Bible. Now, you might think, well, who's got the altar? But if you go back to the original writings, theirs has little alterations to make slight little differences. And they also have extra revelation. Now, who is Jesus? Well, actually, the scriptures are the same in many respects, but what they would say is, Jesus did exist before. Jesus is... Now, and this is not what we believe. So this is why I have to be careful. I don't want you to get the wrong end of this. Now, this is what the Jehovah's might say. That in heaven, Jesus was an angel. He was Michael, the archangel. Right? Then he came to heaven as Jesus, and I think he's gone back. Came to earth as Jesus, and he's gone back to heaven, and he's now Michael. Now, there's a difference. There's a difference. So he's more exalted than a prophet, perhaps. He's a messenger sent from God to bring salvation, or whatever that means. You have to be careful because what we might call salvation is different to what they might call salvation. What we call redemption is different to what they call redemption. So sometimes you think you're talking the same language, but they actually mean something different to them than it does to us. Okay, so So they would say, so yes, he was there at the beginning, but he was the first created being. He's not God. They wouldn't say he's God. He's a creator. He's an angel. See? And he actually created all things. So it's very similar to that reading we had. He created all things. But it's not the same because it's an angel that created. It's a little subtle difference. And when you start looking, you can actually see how some of these early books like Colossians and various others were written to the church because some of these little ideas were creeping into the early church. That Jesus was an angel or they worshipped angels. And you start to see it creeping in. And these were written just to sort of counteract some of these little slightly... Now, a lot of what these people believe... The difference between Christianity and most faiths, or all faiths outside of Christianity rely upon us to try and be good enough to please God. So we work in hard to obey the rules to please God. And if we don't do it good enough, we don't get there. Christianity relies upon Jesus being good enough. And we have to rely upon that. And is Jesus good enough to please God? Anyway, we'll keep on rolling. That's the difference. So, Jehovah's Witnesses. The Bible is slightly altered, slight little differences that give slight little different meanings. And it's important that if you were to engage in talk, that you know what you believe. Because if you don't know what you believe, how can you talk with someone else? Because I'll tell you what, they'll know all their verses. They'll have set verses that you won't have a clue about. And they'll run rings around you. So you have to kind of know what you believe. Otherwise, you know, they'll have you all over the place. Mormons is an interesting one. You have the Mormons. Now, when I'm talking about Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, they still have Jesus as a kind of savior. Strange. But... what do they believe? It's quite hard to work out because over the years of these of Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, their belief based loosely on the Bible has changed. It's adapted, both of them. And what they have is extra revelation that we have the Bible, but they've got another book. The Book of Mormon is an extra book. Yeah, you've got it. Well, anyway, now the Bible tells us not to have anything extra on top of it as something to, because what they believe, that the Bible is okay, but it's Chinese whisper, so it's wrong. But the Book of Mormon corrects it all. So you see? So, same again, the language is similar, but the meaning is different. Who's Jesus? It's a very strange one because what they believe in is there's a God original. He has his wives and has spiritual children. They're out. They're in this kind of spiritual world. They wait for a baby to come along, and then that spirit inhabits the baby. You know, that's yes, no, hey ho. Now then, but Jesus was the first spirit baby. That's how, this is what they're saying, not what I'm saying. This is what they're, he's the first spirit baby. Also, I don't know if you ever heard of someone called Lucifer. Lucifer is another spirit baby. Yeah? And so are all we spirit babies of the same God. And that means that actually we would say, yes, I'm Jesus' brother. He's adopted me into his family. They would say it because we are spirit babies of the original God. Does that make sense? But also, our brother would be Lucifer as well. All of these characters. Lucifer was, there were two brothers, Jesus and Lucifer, and they went to God, and they asked if they could sort the problems of earth out. And God preferred Jesus' plan, so he accepted Jesus. Lucifer was upset, and he got a load of the other spirit babies, and they rebelled. It sounds similar to the Bible, doesn't it? Because they rebelled, they are not allowed to have bodies. And that's where Satan and all his demons come from. Yeah? It's similar. It's similar. But you see how we can get hold of you? Because it's similar. It's similar. So Jesus is a son of God. So are we. He isn't God, which is what, this is what the Mormons believe, not me, sorry. This is what the Mormons are saying, see. So I'm just trying to say the difference, because always these religions downgrade who Jesus is. They always just downgrade him. I better get on with this, hadn't I? Let me just hurry up, I'm running out of time fast. I'll just have a quick few thoughts here. Okay, pick out a few little things. So in Islam, the divinity of Christ is denied, as is also the reality of crucifixion. Hinduism. Many Hindus have no difficulty in accepting Jesus as divine. They don't mind him being God, because they have lots of gods. What they find difficult is the Christian understanding that the incarnation of God in Jesus is unique. See? So there's lots of incarnations of God, lots of gods. So actually, they can tag Jesus onto their religion. He's another one. But he's not unique. He's just he's a wise God teacher man. Yeah? Buddhism doesn't actually talk about God. They will just, there isn't such a thing as God in its speaking, so he's a good man. So, just running through, I'll pick out a few. Baha'i faith, Jesus is a man. Buddhism, Jesus is a man. Christian Science, Jesus is a man. Of course, what do we believe? He is fully God and fully man. Yeah? That's the difference. We believe fully God, fully man. The ones I've mentioned is God is a man. Hinduism, views vary. Islam, he's a man. Jehovah's Witnesses, he's an angel. Mormon, he's a man. Yeah? We believe he's fully God, fully man. So if I, when we look at some of these religions, one of the things we need to know is we need to understand what we believe. We need to know that. We need to understand that this is authoritative. It's not just a useful bit of stuff. This is it. Yeah? That's what we need to know. Not and that and extra. That's in a sense, that's all you need. It's good to know what we believe rather than looking into what everyone else believes. I've done it now for this talk, but really, it's more important that you understand what you believe. Other religions are working to satisfy God And their understanding of who God is might be very different to what we might say God, or you all believe in God, but their God, their understanding, is their God a loving, merciful, saving, gracious God, or is he a vindictive, whatever God? You don't know, you know, and when we use the phrase God, we have to, our God, how do we know what he looks like? Because we have Jesus. He is the image of God. We've read it earlier. We don't need to look at these other religions enviously. In fact, we should be sad or annoyed or angry that many are missing out on the knowledge and relationship and saving grace of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Savior, Redeemer, Rescuer, and God's plan. So much work and energy has gone into deceiving many around the world. And we don't have to look at them enviously. We should be sad that so many are getting lost. And if you read the Thought for the Week, you know, the man had that heart for that boy. That's the gospel. So if I could just, on the back of our news flash, I don't know if have I got time to, can we read it? At the bottom half of it, shall I read it out? And take, if you haven't got a news flash, can you take one home with you and pin it up? Because if you want, there's a little statement of faith there that you can take home and try and remember it. And if you don't understand something, please come back to me, because really it's very important that we know what we believe. And then when someone like a JW or a Mormon comes and says to you, you can say, well, do you believe that Jesus is God? And they go, try it out. You know, is he? And if he says, well, we believe he is a son of God, is it, A means there's lots. If he is the Son of God, that's different. Do you see what I mean? There's a little playing with words that makes a difference. Anyway, shall I read this out to you? We believe in one God, almighty, everlasting and unchanging, who exists eternally in three persons, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. That's quite straightforward, isn't it? We believe that this God is sovereign in creation, revelation, redemption, final judgment and the life of the world to come. We believe that God has made himself known implicitly in creation and explicitly through the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. That's the Bible. We affirm that the Bible is his written word, inspired by his Spirit, entirely trustworthy and supremely authoritative for faith and conduct of all people. Yeah? So some people have an extra book, we don't. We believe that out of love for the world, God has made himself known definitively in the Word made flesh, his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom dwells the fullness of deity. That means God. We believe that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. We believe that he was fully human, yet without sin. See, that's important there. Well, it's all important, but hey-ho. And that he remained fully divine. Through his life and ministry, he revealed God's nature and purpose to the world. We believe that he suffered, died, and was buried. We believe that on the third day he was raised bodily. That means not just spirit, but his physical body was risen. It's important, because some will have a spiritual resurrection. We have a physical resurrection. Leaving an empty tomb, and that's why the tomb was empty, because if he rose spiritually, the body would still be there. We believe that he ascended into heaven, from where he now reigns in glory and intercedes for his people. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who convicts people of sin, leads them to repentance and faith in Christ, makes them members of his church, and strengthens them for holy living. We believe that this Spirit indwells all Christian believers, desiring to fill them continually, to produce his fruit in their lives and to transform them into the likeness of Christ. So if you want to know what the fruit of the Spirit is, you'll have to ask. The gifts of the Holy Spirit equip and empower the church for its task of testifying to the manifestation of the kingdom of God. We believe that humanity was originally created sinless by God, but then fell through willful rebellion and thereby became universally estranged from him and subject to his wrath and condemnation. We believe that on the cross Jesus suffered and died once and for all in the place of sinners, bearing their guilt, sin and punishment, paying the price for their rebellion and reconciling them to God by his death. Jesus overcame the power of the devil, that's Lucifer in the other one, and ensured the ultimate defeat of the forces of evil. We believe that salvation is assured for all who, by grace, repent of their sins, acknowledge that Jesus died for them, and personally accept him through faith as Lord and Savior, or as boss, as modern language. You know. We believe that he is the only mediator between God and humanity, and that salvation is found through no one else. So there's only one way. Jesus has the final say. I say it like that because he does. We believe that all Christians are called and commissioned by Christ to share the good news of salvation, to make disciples, and to undertake acts of service to those in need. Reconciliation between people and with creation is not the same as reconciliation with God, we believe that the gospel compels Christians to work for peace and social justice. We believe that Christ established one holy universal church, which is his body and of which he is the head. The church visible on earth is the imperfect expression of the invisible church, which comprises all true believers of every time and place. That means there's Christians now living on the earth and there's Christians in heaven or whatever. We believe that, am I in the right place? We believe that in the last days Jesus Christ will return visibly and personally. The dead will be raised with all those still living, will face divine judgment. Christ will pronounce God's just condemnation on those who have rejected him and receive the redeemed to eternal glory. Go away, study it, any questions on it, but that's what you need to know. That's it in a sort of nutshell. It's not too complicated. It's very simple, very straightforward, but it's good for us to remember that.